Well, amen. Nothing like the grace of God.
Amen.
While you're turning to Luke chapter 15.
Thank you.
Let me say what a joy it's been to be around here a little bit now and then this summer. This place is like a drink of fresh water. Amen. And it's always good to get fresh water. It's been an otherwise full summer. And we've had to do some things this year that we were not physically prepared to do. Some things we were not mentally prepared to do. And some things we were not spiritually prepared to do. These things pop up in your life from time to time. And sometimes I've got a message somewhere I used to preach called When God Throws a Curveball. And sometimes you get a curveball. You don't get that ball you're expecting. You don't get that one straight across the plate that you like to hit out of the park. And the one that makes you look good. Amen. And sometimes some things come up that test your mettle. That test your spirituality in this case, as if you're a Christian. And sometimes I think as I get older in the Lord that I become less of a Christian. Because they seem to fail. And you'd think after a while, I talked to Dr. Don Green one time and I said, surely this thing gets easier. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's kind of like riding a bicycle, isn't it? I remember when I mastered the bicycle, man, I had that thing down. And you get that where you can balance it, you can pedal it, you can ride it, you can stop it, you can pull a wheelie with it, and still keep it going straight. And I tried that one time on a motorcycle. On blacktop, after doing it in sand, wasn't a good idea. I failed miserably. But you think you get that thing mastered, and the old flesh thinks it gets a lot of things mastered, doesn't it? And about the time you think you've got the handle on the handle breaks. Amen. And that's what it's kind of been like this summer. I've been in communication with the pastor, and asking him, pray for me. This thing's going on, that thing's going on, and you know what life is? It's all a matter of priorities. Amen. And when the priorities are right before God, and you keep them right before God, things go well even if they don't go well. Amen. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of for those times when they don't go well. Amen. Here in Luke 15, there's four good messages in this text. And you got the one that a lot of folks many times have heard about the prodigal son. And then you've got the father of the prodigal, which is great if you've ever had a prodigal child, and good study there. Then you got the servant, the guy that stuck with it, stuck with the farm and stuck with the father and stuck with the work, and just never complained. He just did what was expected of him all the way to the end. And he was even involved in reconciliation and trying to get the older brother reconciled, But what I want to preach on today is that older brother. These are some things I've lived this summer, amen. And by the way, I'm thankful to be preaching here as my last engagement, Lord willing. Tonight I'll preach in Eldred, but it's good to launch from here. We're going back west starting tomorrow. Amen. I appreciate your prayers, amen. Let's pick the story up there in verse 11, Luke 15, 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And the rest of the story. We're not really so much dealing with him. Let's go down to verse 21, where he comes. He's already come to his father. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The right attitude. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God and the privilege to be here today and preach it. Now, Lord, I pray, God, the best I know how, give this vessel unto you again. Lord, I ask you, please, do with this vessel what you see fit and use it, God, to speak your word as you'd have it spoken. And, Lord God, I pray the Spirit of God would, God, touch each heart with it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some things about this elder brother. You know, when the prodigal son took off, that younger son, that elder brother did as he had always done. He got up the next morning. He went to the field. He worked in the field. He came home that evening. He hung up the harness. He took care of the things of the animals. He went inside, sat down, ate supper, you know, took a bath, went to bed, whatever. He went about the routine, and to everybody around, it seemed as this elder brother, he was just still the cat's pajamas, man. This guy still had his act together. And before the eyes of many, did. And you know, it's easy for us to look at each other and think all of us have our act together. Amen? Because we don't look at each other in the mirror every morning. Amen? We look at us in the morning, and that's the problem. Amen? You know, it's that elder child that carries the load many times. In a family such as this, especially, where it's a farm community. I grew up in farming. And the older boy always had the task. He always had the charge of things. Why? Because, mostly because he had been taught earlier. If you're an oldest child here, or an older child, and, you know, there have been some times in your life where you felt a little bit left out because the younger kids didn't do quite what you had to do. Look at it this way. You'd been at it longer than them. And you had been really expected more of you because you were trained first. And you couldn't pick your lot in life or your number in the family. You know, I know some older kids said, man, I wish I'd have been born last. You know, I've met some young ones that I wish I'd have been born first. You know, but there's kind of a reason that thing falls out that way, because, you know, you got more training. That's how in the military, Sam, amen, you go up in rank, right? Peter, amen. I mean, someday you'll be what? What rank are you now?
Just a Lance Corporal.
Just a Lance Corporal. Well, that's a Lance Corporal, amen. You're not a buck private anymore, right? Amen. And as you learn more about the job and do the job more often, you become more skilled in the job, and therefore you get promoted up. And you get put in charge of things, and eventually you'll be telling others what to do, right? And so what happened? Why is it that way? Because you're more experienced. Because you started before they did. So here's this elder brother. He got the start, you know, a long time before the younger brother. Don't tell us how long, but it was long enough that he's the elder brother. He knows a little bit more. And you know what? More is expected of him. Amen. Now, in my family, I've got both ends of the spectrum. I am the youngest. I am the middlest. And I am the youngest. Amen.
Yes.
If you ain't figured that out, I'm the onlyest. Amen. And so I can't look at the younger brother. Amen. And so I can't look at the older brother. I'm him. I'm both cases. So I got it from two sides. Amen. But, you know, here's this fellow, amen, that he kind of forgot in his heart that unto whom much is given, much is required. He'd been given a lot already. And he kind of forgot this thing that, hey, what did the Bible say? The father divided unto them his living. So he got what the younger brother got. And in fact, the father reminds him of it there in verse 31. He said, all that I have is thine. In other words, he divided among them. And guess what? The younger brother took off with his half. Well, guess what the older brother got? He got the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All that I have is thine. He got the end that still makes money. He got the end that still produces. He got the end that can still be a blessing. All the younger brother did was squander what he got. And the older brother still got the good end of the deal, really.
Amen.
And he kind of got his eyes on himself here. And, you know, often we think, well, you know, I have to do this. I have to do that. Really, what it is more, I get to do this. I brought my kids up to look at it that way. Look, you get to go to church. You get to hear the finest preaching in all the land. And it wasn't me they were listening to most of the time. Until later on, of course, the older one was already gone. She was married, and now she has to listen to her husband all the time. Amen. But here it is, amen. Need to realize, amen, that God expects us to do certain things. And sometimes God will ask us things of us that aren't always in our repertoire, if you might say. There are things that aren't always in our plans. My plan was I would be in Las Vegas already for a month right now. I was going to head back to school this year, start school a little bit early, get the Bible Institute up and rolling, and get some more weeks in, because I've got some longer stays I need to spend in a couple places with some of my preacher boys. And I'm going to be away more. And I wanted to get more school in so I could finish up at the same time and get people through. I've got several students this year that will be finishing their bachelor's degree. And so I was excited about that, still excited about that. I've got 3 new students that I know of waiting on me when I get back. And so all these things in mind, and I'm like, oh my, you know. And now I'm getting pushed by a clock. You know why I got pushed by a clock? Because I let it. Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with time? He lives in eternity where there's no hands on the clock. Amen. There's no clock. Amen. One of these days we'll be there. You know. But you know, he just, this elder brother, he just kind of forgot his position. He kind of forgot what was expected of him. And some things started coming out of him that he probably didn't even know were in there. You ever had that happen? You ever said something? Why on earth did I say that?
Yes.
I mean, thought something and thought, what on earth is that? What I want to preach on just a little while is the unnoticed rebel. See, the younger son, he gets all the accolade. He gets all the name. He gets all the messages. In fact, in 38, 39 years, I think I've probably heard dozens of messages on the younger brother. And I've only heard one on the elder brother, and I preached it. Amen. So, you know, here's some things. Here we are. You know, we've got what we deal with in our own lives? There's a lot of the elder brother in us.
Yes, sir.
Listen, this guy was faithful. He stayed home when the younger brother ran off. That's commendable. Man, stay there. Keep the farm going. Keep that thing producing. Take care of Dad. That's what I'm having to do now, is take care of my mother. My father's gone, and I'm the only one, so I can't pass it off to another brother who lives in the area. And I'm in a place God's called me and put me 3,000 miles away. He stayed home when the younger son left. He was faithful to the father. He was found in the field when the son came home. Amen. And he was still fighting the fight he'd been fighting all along. Some good qualities. You know what else? He served in spite of what others had done. You know, all too often, you know, we're serving and we're doing things and invariably it happens. Someone else gets the credit. Man, don't that just get you? I remember being in the military. And my second boss I had in the military was a drunkard. He would come in about, and I'm a 2-striper, and he's a tech sergeant, a 5-striper, and I'm doing his job, my job, and the guy in between, because everybody in between us had been transferred out. I had to run the shop, do all the paperwork, train the trainees, go out and make sure the work was done, and still get everything done by the end of the day. He'd come in the morning, preacher, and he'd lean against the doorpost, he's already drunk. He'd look at me, he'd say, 349 is done. That's the paperwork we had to do to account for a time. I said, already done and submitted. Supply run done. I said, supply run's already in. I sent so and so. All the work. I said, all the work's fine. Okay, see you later. Out you go. That went on for over 2 years. And boy, I'm telling you, you let something go wrong in that shop, the commander come in and find one thing out of place, guess who caught it? I was the only guy there, man. I had to catch it. And boy, but on the other hand, when it was time to pass out the attaboys and things looked great and we passed with flying colors, guess who took the credit? Him. I said, dude, you've been in the club all this time. Well, they finally caught up with him. And I didn't have to do it. Amen. I learned, amen, as a young Christian, just let God take care of it. Now, God will catch up with people. Amen. It will bite them eventually. But what did he do? He served in spite of what others had done. Man, these are commendable qualities. Here he is, man. I mean, I'm telling you what. He is still out there doing what he is supposed to do. Good thing to do. He wouldn't be caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. Here's another one I noticed about him as I was meditating. He spoke his mind to himself only. So how do you know that? You don't read anywhere in there where when he's out in the field, you know, that he come and complained to the father or complained to the servant. It's not until the younger brother shows up. Now he's outspoken about it. See? You know what we do? We go off and we're serving. And we're in the right place at the right time. And we're still where we belong, when we belong. But man, when we're alone, brother of mine, leave me with all this world. Who do you think he is? Oh, spending all dad's money. Where do you think he get all that? Man, I'm telling you, if I could get my hands on that cotton picker, I'd be his neck. Oh, hi, dear. Amen. See, how do you know that? I caught myself doing it this summer. Man, I thought I'd really be on some things. Pastor Hayne, I thought I'd grown. I found out I didn't grow to what I thought I was. There were some things in my heart, amen, that had to come out of my heart. Here's this older brother, and what's he doing? He as soon as that younger son comes home, and he hears the party, and of all things, man, the father has to throw him a party. What in the world is this? I've been out here sweating, amen. I've been out here grinding my knuckles. I've been out here wearing out my shoe leather. I've been out here doing all this stuff. I've been out here taking care of the animals. I've been out here cutting the hay. Where's he been? And the father showed him a party? Mm-hmm. Ouch. Amen. You know what happened? This stuff's starting to come out of his heart. Mm-hmm. This stuff's been buried deep for a long time. Can I say this? God knows how to get to the depths. And show us exactly what we are. Even though we're saved. Even though we know we're on our way to heaven. God has a way of putting his finger in there and going. And pointing out the very thing that he dislikes the most. The very thing that he knows about us. That many times we don't even know about ourselves. And so here he is. Now he starts complaining. Now he's outspoken. He's outspoken to the servant. And he's outspoken to the father now. He'll speak his mind now. You know, you never did this for me, Dad. I mean, how does he rate? You see, he forgot that he's still a servant. Man, a servant. You read that servant there. In fact, take your Bible, go to Luke 17. Luke 17. There's a servant here. And pick it up, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Here's that servant. He's out there. Now listen, in that day, you know, there wasn't a time clock. there was a sun talk. Amen. When the sun was up, they were already in the field. When the sun went down, they're headed for the barn. And they go to the barn, and that servant, the first thing he would do is take care of that animal. Amen. He would hang up the tack, all the things that drove the animal, steered the animal, all of that. And he would, amen, take all that stuff off, take the weight off the animal, and he would oftentimes just dry the animal, comb the animal, and put it aside. Then he would go to the house. And now the story picks up where he goes to the house, and what's the master say? Yeah, get my supper. You can tell the servant wasn't a Baptist, because he said, get your own supper. Amen.
Yeah.
But here it is. He goes in. What happened? Did that servant get upset? No. No, that servant just did what was asked of him. He did what was expected of him. Even though that servant was worn out, man, he had been from sun up to sundown in the field. And still comes in and just, yes, sir. And gladly does it. We see some things here. We see an attitude come out of the elder son. You know, they teach you in flight training. I took some many years ago. That attitude is everything. If you have an airplane, they teach you that flight is to be, generally what you're aiming for when you reach altitude is the right attitude. If you have a nose-high attitude, that plane is going to eventually stall and crash and drop out of the sky if you don't correct it. If you have a nose-low attitude, that plane's eventually going to follow its nose down, and you're going to crash anyway if you don't correct the attitude. And I learned that some in flying. There's a lot of these, see these stunt pilots and things? Listen, if they don't have the proper attitude in that aircraft, they can't do those stunts. It throws everything out of whack. We lost 5 Thunderbird aircraft back in 1981, I believe it was. When I signed in to Nellis Air Force Base, they had all 5 of them flew dead into the ground out at Indian Springs out there. And what had happened was the lead plane, the lead solo, got something in his gear, and he had a nose-low attitude as he was doing that stunt. And what happened? It flew him right into the ground. Well, the other 4 aircraft were trained to fly off that aircraft. So here's one aircraft with a bad attitude that did not get corrected. He could not correct it because something was stuck in his flight gear. And before he could warn the others, all 5 of them went nose first into the ground. And that's all it took was one thing to cause the attitude to go just a little bit off. And he couldn't correct it enough to come out of it. That's all it takes. So here's this son, this servant. Amen. You know what he did? He forgot. In his attitude, I'm a servant. I am a servant of the Most High God. I am a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if my King requires me to do what I'm doing, then I'm doing the highest calling any person could do on this planet.
Amen.
It does not matter what I think I should be doing. It does not matter what others think I should be doing. What matters is what does my King think I should be doing? What has he given me to do at this very moment? See, life, the Christian life, is more than just a life. It's a moment-by-moment experience sometimes. It's a thing where, amen, I mean, we get tested sometimes every moment for a few moments. Sometimes it's every day for a few days. Sometimes it's a month for every month, amen. But what is it? If it's what the Father said do, it's the highest thing you can do. Amen. He forgot. His attitude changed. And it showed his attitude, which is his heart. Showed his heart. He was angry there in verse 28. That anger didn't just come out. That had been building up over however long that son, other brother was gone. And it's building up in his heart. And, you know, he could hold it in around other folks. Isn't that funny how we can do that? We can even hold our tongue around other folks. But man, when we get off by ourselves, sometimes we flop, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And you know, it became all about him now. Not about who he was, but him. Let us never forget, amen, we are servants of the Most High God. Amen. And then we see also the Father's admonition there in verse 31 and 32. And he... said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. You know what the father told him? Son, I've seen you every day, man. You've been right here. It hasn't gone unnoticed before my eyes. You've been here every day. You've done exactly what was always expected of you. You've done the job faithfully. You've done the job that I put before you to keep this farm running. And all that I have is thine. Son, this whole place is yours. When it's all said and done, your younger brother doesn't get any more. He's already got his reward. You got the farm. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And there in verse 32, and it was meet that we should make merry. Amen. Meet that we should make merry. Why? Because, man, he's now right with us. He's right with me. The relationship has been restored. I'll never forget the first night my daughter ran out of the house. And she was mad, and there were some problems, and she got into an elder brother syndrome here. She was the middle child. And my younger daughter stood at the doorway. She ran down the road, and she screamed at her, I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! I brought her back inside. I said, no, come here. Come here. No, no, no. You don't hate her. That's your sister. You love her. You may hate what she did. She saw what had happened to my wife and I and how we were treated. And I said, honey, you love your sister. Let's get down here and pray for her. They're best of friends today. You know, what this fella forgot was there's a reckoning day coming. And you know, he's watching the younger son there get all the accolades and get all the rewards and awards and whatever, the pats on the back and the fatted calf and the ring on the finger, you know, signifying he had authority from the father and, you know, the shoes on his feet, you know, to clean up his walk. And I mean, all this stuff. I mean, he's seeing all that go on for a boy who squandered everything. And he's wondered, here am I, man, look what I've done. And I didn't get any of that. You ever look at God blessing somebody else and say, I didn't get one of them. How come he got one I didn't? You know, sometimes it'd be good for God to give you some of them things just undeserving and watch what happens later. You know, when the church bought the pastor a Cadillac, I didn't have a bit of problem with that. I say, why is that? Because I had a Cadillac once. I had a Lincoln once. You know what they were? Trouble. God, now listen, his may run perfect, never have a problem. I'm not saying that. But God allowed me to get through some of that stuff to see that, hey man, listen, if I bless somebody else, what's it to you? If I take care of somebody, what you need to do is learn to rejoice, son, with them that rejoice. And weep with them that weep. And man, I'm telling you, if God gives anybody in here a new car, man, let me know. I'll be the first one leading the parade around it, shouting the victory for you. And amen. And in the blessing of the name of the Lord for that, giving you that. Amen. I think it's great when God pays his servants like that. Amen. And God blesses his servants like that. That's the most wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. And amen. Listen, I mean, look what I ride down the road in and pull behind me. I mean, you know, God has been good to me. I have no room to complain about anything. Amen. And so here it is. He forgets some things about judgment. You know, the father reminds him of it. He said, look, son, he said, you have been ever with me. In other words, I've seen all you've done. It hasn't escaped my vision. I see your faithfulness. I see your fruitfulness. I see the barns full because of your labor. I see the animals calving because of your care for them. I see this thing working because of you. And it's all yours. You see, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be standing there going, wish I'd have got one of them. I'm telling you, just the fact that I'm there is going to be enough for me. Amen. I'm not at the other judgment. Amen. And then, you know, it'd be a terrible thing to get to the end, because you see, his payday is still going on. He's still there reaping the benefit of that farm. It'd be a terrible thing to get to the judgment seat of Christ. Having been faithful, this young man was faithful. Having been fruitful, this young man was fruitful. Having been, amen, careful about what he did in the field, to do it right, only to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have it all go up in smoke because of a hard attitude. Because of a wrong look at the thing. Thinking we deserve something. You know what we deserve? We deserve a hot bed in hell. But by the grace of God, amen, saved folk, we ain't going to get it.
Yes, amen.
We're going to get to enjoy the presence of the Father for eternity with the angels of God and all the creatures, amen. And you think about, man, about a million years of just shouting, glory, hallelujah, be to God. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Amen. And you know, lastly, I say this. It saddened the Father when he had great opportunity to please the Father. As I read this account yesterday, I looked back after I read the account and the preceding verse jumped out at me. Take a look at verse 10 there in verse chapter 15. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see, even the worst of situations, there's a bright spot. Man, if we could just see beyond what we're going through right now and see that, hey man, there's something a whole lot better coming. And there's going to be an opportunity there for me to please my Father. And man, when the Father is pleased, you can't get any better than that. You know, for the lost, it's simply to repent. Preacher talked about it in the morning hour, and about the blood and how God, what God paid. Amen. You know what God's willing, wanting right now? He's wanting lost folks to repent, to get right, to get saved, to receive that blood by faith and apply it to their account. Saved folk, man, what's he expecting out of us? Well, you know, he expects us to go to church. He expects us to be faithful. Yeah, be faithful. Amen. But you know what? He really puts a smile on his face when we do it, and we even do those things not only faithfully, but because we want to. But because we love him. And we do it with a smile on our face. How many times, there's some young people sitting here, how many times you ever get asked or told to take out the trash and grumble about it on the way out the door? You know? Attitude is everything. Ask God for the heart that serves with joy in your heart, no matter what. When it messes up your plan, man, my plan's been messed up so many times you'd think I'd learned the lesson. But I found out this summer I hadn't learned it all yet. I didn't get a hold of it all yet. But I sure do want to. I want to please him. Why? Because he has done so much for me. I am not worthy of the least of his mercies. But every day, man, I woke up this morning, the beautiful sun was, well, I got up before the sun, but when the sun came up, it was beautiful. You know what that son told me? His mercies are new today, son. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what. We get that thing straightened out. What a joy it is to serve God. Even when the road is unpaved. Even when there's curves in the road that we didn't expect. Things that we weren't prepared for. Man, things that just twisted us in knots. It can still be joy. All he had was an attitude problem. And it sure messed things up for him. It messed up how he looked at things. It messed up his vision of the field. It messed up his vision of the Father. But aren't you glad that Father came? That's when I got thinking about the wonderful grace of Jesus, man. Man, when God comes to you and says, you know, son, you could do a little better at this. You know, your heart's a little messed up here. Your attitude stinks. And you need to get it right. And it's good to have the tear ducts open again. It's good to hear the birds singing again. You know, it's just fall. There aren't a lot of those pretty songbirds around too much anymore. But boy, they were singing the other day. Amen. They were singing most of all this morning. That elder brother was that unnoticed rebel. He had something in his heart that needed taken care of. Found out there's a little bit of that elder brother in all of us. Amen. Thanks be to God for grace and mercy. And man, thanks be to God for the blood.
Yeah,
it's still there, amen. And it still has all the power it's ever had. And it washes it all away, amen. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the lesson of the elder brother. Lord, I pray that there's something that's said here this afternoon to be a blessing to be able. God help us to keep the right attitude. Keep the ship flying well. Lord God, not to crash and burn somewhere. The last thing we want to be is a bad illustration of how not to do it. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. I pray you'll help us.